35. To his niece, Sofia Alexandrovna. Geneva. September the 29th, October the 11th, 1867. Good day, my dear friend Sonichka. Don't be cross with me for my far too long silence, nor with Anna Grigorievna. A.G. has had a letter to you ready for a week and more, but she will not send it with this, for she wants to add something to it. Frankly, I want to entice an answer from you. We are so frightfully bored here in Geneva that every letter you write to us will be reckoned as a good deed to you in heaven. Moreover, you know yourself how very much I love you, and how deeply interested I am in everything that happens in your life. We arranged our trip very stupidly. We ought to have had more money so that we could change our place of abode as often as we wished. We have had to turn our travels into a stay abroad instead of a tour through Europe. Life abroad, wherever it may be, is very tiresome. As it was very expensive and very dusty in Paris, and as the summer in Italy was very hot and cholera was cropping up there, we have spent this summer in different parts of Germany, which we chose according to the beauty of the scenery and the goodness of the air. Everywhere it was tiresome. Everywhere the scenery was fine, and everywhere I had fairly good health. I was most particularly glad that Anna Grigorievna did not feel bothered at all, though I am not an over-agreeable companion, and we have lived 6 months at a time together without friends or acquaintance. In that time we refreshed many of our old memories, and I swear to you that we would have enjoyed ourselves 10 times better if we had spent the summer not in foreign lands, but at Lublin near you. Anna Grigorievna has developed a great talent for travelling. Wherever she went, she discovered everything that was worth seeing, and at once wrote down her impressions. She has filled countless little notebooks and so on with her hieroglyphics. Unfortunately, she did not see half enough, even so. At last, the autumn arrived. Our money no longer sufficed for a trip to Italy, and there were other hindrances besides. We thought of Paris, and later regretted much that we had not gone there instead of to Geneva. I had already, it is true, been 3 times at Geneva, but had never stayed there long, and so knew nothing of the climate of the town. The weather changes at least 3 times a day, and I have had my attacks again, just as in Petersburg. Nevertheless, I must work, and must stop at least 5 months at Geneva. I'm very seriously attacking a novel, which I shall give myself the pleasure of dedicating to you, that is, Sonichka, Sofia Alexandrovna Ivanovna, as I long since decided. I am going to publish it in the Ruski Vestnik. I don't know whether I shall bring it off. My God, if it weren't for my poverty, I should never have made up my mind to publish it now, that is, in these days of ours. The sky is so overcast. Napoleon has declared that already he perceives several black marks on his horizon. To settle the Mexican, the Italian, and chiefest of all, the German questions, he will have to divert public attention by a war, and win the French to himself by the old method, a successful campaign. But though the French of today are probably not thus to be beguiled, a war is nevertheless very likely. You will already have seen this yourself. Do you, by the way, read some newspapers? For God's sake, do. Nowadays they must be read, not only because it is the mode, but so as to trace the ever more decisively and strikingly evident connection of great and small events. But if war does break out, artistic wares will fall considerably in price. This is a very important contingency, which of itself makes me thoughtful. With us in Russia, indeed, there has lately been apparent, even without war, a great indifference to artistic things. Most of all, I dread mediocrity. A work should either be very good or very bad, but for its life, not mediocre. Mediocrity that takes up 30 printed sheets is something quite unpardonable. I beg you, dear, to write me as fully as possible about everything that has happened to you and yours in these 6 months. What have you, I mean you yourself, been doing, and what are your plans? We shall have to make ours very much the same. My passport is good only for 6 months, but I shall have to stay here 6 months longer, or perhaps even more. It depends on purely business matters. And yet I should like to get back to Russia, and that for many reasons. In the first place, I should then have a fixed place of abode. Moreover, after my return, I should decidedly like to edit something in the shape of a paper. I think I have spoken before to you of this. The form and scope of the undertaking I now see quite clearly in my mind's eye. Now for that, I must be at home, where I can hear everything with my own ears and see it with my own eyes. For the rest, I'm glad that I now have some work on hand. If I hadn't, I should die of ennui. Whether, when the novel is finished, which it may not be for a long time, I shall begin anything else in these foreign lands, I really don't know. I simply can't understand the Russian tourists who often stay here 3 years. A trip abroad may be useful and even enjoyable if it lasts about 6 months, and if one stays nowhere longer than a fortnight and keeps continually on the go. And one might really get well on such a trip. But there are people who live here long with their families, educate their children here, forget the Russian language, and finally, when they are at the end of their resources, return home and set up to instruct us instead of learning from us. Yes, here they stay mouldering, and then need a whole year to get used to things at home and fall into the right groove again. In particular, a writer, unless he's a scholar or a specialist, can't possibly stay long. In our craft, truth is the chiefest thing, but here one can see only Swiss truth. Geneva lies on the Lake of Geneva. The lake is wonderful, its shores are picturesque, but Geneva itself is the essence of tedium. It is an old Protestant town, and yet one sees countless drunken people everywhere. When I arrived here, the Peace Congress was just beginning, to which Garibaldi himself came. He went away immediately afterwards. It was really incredible how these socialist and revolutionary gentlemen, whom hitherto I had known only from books, sat and flung down lies from the platform to their audience of 5,000. It's quite indescribable. One can hardly realize, even for oneself, the absurdity, feebleness, futility, disunion, and the depth of essential contradictoriness. And it is this rabble which is stirring up the whole unfortunate working class. It's too deplorable. That they may attain to peace on earth, they want to root out the Christian faith, annihilate the great powers and cut them up into a lot of small ones, abolish capital, declare that all property is common to all, and so forth. And all this is affirmed with no logical demonstration whatever. What they learnt 20 years ago, they are still babbling today. Only when fire and sword have exterminated everything can, in their belief, eternal peace ensue. But enough of this. I shall most certainly answer your letters, dear, by return of post. Your very loving, Fyodor Dostoevsky.